Blog Talk Radio.
The dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
Welcome to the Shadows
of the Night Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to
the Night Zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission for the next hour. And we will control all that you hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind of the Night Zone. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor. Tonight's guest in the shadows of the Night Zone is Scott Mandelker. Scott has a doctorate in East-West Psychology from the California Institute of Integral Studies. Scott's PhD combines eclectic Western psychology with intensive study on Eastern religion. After receiving an MA in counseling in 1990, he began a private practice in spiritual counseling, which he maintains in San Francisco. Scott has published over a dozen essays on metaphysics, Eastern religions, and the spiritual meaning of ET contact and the UFO presence. Scott Mandelker's first book was translated into Japanese, Polish, and Romanian, and his second, Universal Vision, released in 2000. Scott Mandelker blends mystic and academic approaches to spiritual teaching. With a BA in Buddhist Studies and a PhD in East-West Psychology, he has lectured widely on metaphysics, personal growth, and the spirituality of UFO and ET contact. Tonight, we shall be discussing with Scott the cosmic wanderers and the ET agendas, earth changes and survival, and meditation, higher self, and self-healing. All this and more with Scott Mandelker in the Night Zone, coming right up. You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And I have to tell you, there was question whether we would actually make air tonight or not. Here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, it is minus 34 degrees Celsius with wind chill, and everything, and I mean everything, is freezing. Before we get to tonight's guest, just a heads up, literally, satellite debris update. The first cataloged fragments of a shattered satellite, Cosmos 2251, are about to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. According to the U.S. Strategic Command tracking data, re-entries will occur on March the 12th, the 28th, and the 30th, followed by more in April. Remember, tonight's full moon is known as the Worm Moon. It signals the coming of northern spring, a thawing of the soil, and the first stirrings of earthworms in long-dormant gardens. Step outside tonight and behold the wakening landscape of the worm moonlight. So, if you do see any streaks in tonight's sky, check with spaceweather.com before you phone your local TV station. Let's make sure it is what it is, and it's not just some debris from 2251, the Cosmos satellite. And there is no other way to segue to my next guest. His accolades speak for himself. It's an absolute pleasure to have Scott Mandelker with us tonight. Good evening, Scott. Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
Thank you very much, Colin. I'm glad to be here.
I would normally ask you how your weather is, Scott, but you've heard how mine is, and, you know, I would be on a plane down there in a moment's notice. San Francisco, I have to say that it usually has a fairly temperate climate about now.
Yes, it's cool, a little bit cool, and clear skies, and the sun is still setting. The sky is still pale blue, and not as cold as where you are.
I'll say that I don't think anywhere as cold as where I am. Although up in our further province, higher than Calgary, where I am, the Edmonton, our capital of our province, they recorded a temperature at their airport, a dead temperature without a wind chill, of minus 42.9 last night. So she's cold.
Yeah, it's well, cold. Things slow down in the cold, so that's okay.
I hope things pick up, actually. I hope we head for a warm trend. But anyway, Scott, I have to say that taking an old wives' tale, they say up here in Canada that if the weather comes in like a lion in March, it leaves like a lamb. So we're going to watch the old wives' tale and hope to God it's true.
Yeah, it'll be warmer, no doubt.
Yeah.
Got to keep your warm clothing on for the time being, you know?
It's going to be a while before I start taking off the layers. You know, it's almost like a spring cleaning when you start putting the winter woolies and what have you away. But, Scott, I got to tell you, our research people were given your information some months ago, and I apologize for taking so long to get you on the program. It's been a crazy December. Have you experienced a speed up of time or a speed up of society? I know I certainly have.
Yeah, I do personal counseling with people by telephone and in person, and a lot of people have much intensified personal experience in different ways, emotional conflicts, spiritual development, insights, relationship process, decision-making, confusion. Everything that people are going through has been intensified or aggravated or pushed upon very strongly, and there are many reasons for that, of course.
Yeah, I discussed this with John Hogue of Hogue Prophecy at the beginning of the year. Since December, my communication seems to be a challenge for some reason. Phones, computers, emails, letters. It's as if either I'm not in sync with it, or it isn't in sync with me. Are you having any communication issues with your people, or... do I just have the black cloud over my head lately?
You mean on electronics?
Electronic communications of all kinds, yeah.
Not so much. But you see, the electromagnetic bodies or fields of the Earth are quite disturbed. That's why we have strange weather patterns around the world.
Right.
And this is, you know, most people would. Spiritual people, metaphysical people, believe it's associated with the change of the planet's consciousness, the end of age. You know, people talk about 2012 or ascension or harvest, and that's, you know, considered an event occurring at all levels. So it's cellular, it's biochemical, it's in consciousness, it's electrical, it's planetary, cosmic, energetic, you know, relationships.
It is all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is all things that make up man. Now, given that, are you seeing in your counseling, are you seeing more restlessness as opposed to acceptance? Are you seeing resistance, restlessness?
Well, people are, you know, it depends on their life situation. If the relationship that they're in has some problems, those problems are intensified. If they're doing spiritual work, that work is also intensified. If they have fears, those are intensified. And if they are settled in their relationships or in their own selves, then they're feeling better and better. So it's hard to say, you know. Depends on the person. But, you know, social conditions are affecting everyone, for sure, also.
Definitely. There's a great deal of a downturn in the economy and what have you, and there are a lot of negative thoughts and a lot of negative issues out there in the world. And I am hoping that the collective consciousness, the universal mind, will finally come into play and maybe give us a way forward, because we most certainly won't find it on our own. If we are the most intelligent beings in the universe, I believe we could be in some serious trouble.
Well, we're certainly not, but we are in some serious trouble, because the planet has different groups of consciousness, or consciousness groups as well. So you've got very spiritual, very loving people who would like nothing more than universal freedom and abundance and healing and comfort and kindness and love. And we have other people who are intent on selfish gain, and we have other people who don't know what's happening. So this is, particular to this level of existence, actually. These different groups of souls with different orientations or different ways of thinking about life. And so that's really the cause.
Yeah, so why do you think there are such different breeds, for a better word, breeds of souls on the earth? Why do you think all of those various types of...
It's central to the cosmic plan and the purpose of this level of existence. You know, the idea is multidimensional reality, or what Jesus said, my Father's house has many mansions. The idea that there's the physical world of the humans, there are invisible worlds of spirits and souls and entities. There are other planets which are older than Earth, and this particular level is associated with a particular type of consciousness. Consciousness that's one step beyond animals and plants. As we said before the this interview on the phone, you and I, saying that, dogs don't fight with God, or dogs live God's life or something. The idea is animals, the animal level, like trees, they have consciousness, but not a sense of self, not so much. Maybe some dogs and cats do, but not so much. And so they don't fight with their life, and they follow instinct. Human level involves self-consciousness, and that means choice. And that's part of the plan. And so there are really only three primary or three possible choices: love, no love, or neither. And the choice of love leads people to be positive and wanting to help. The choice of no love leads them to be dominating and controlling and deceptive and harmful to all. And the choice of no choice leads people to be confused and just imagining a material existence only. So those are the three groups we have here, native to this level, which involves self-consciousness, which demands choice. And the choice is basically path, positive or negative, love or no love. And that's a pretty hard choice sometimes,
For some people, it would be almost impossible, wouldn't it?
I think that it's possible for everybody, but some of the choices we've made before create conditions around us that are very painful and very difficult. And then the question of what's love, or how to live that when in the face of painful inner or outer experience, is a difficult choosing. But everybody can choose. This human life is a test. Every moment is a test.
The one main thing that I have noticed, I've sensed a thread, a similarity between everything that we talked about on the Night Zone over the last year, the Bible stories of the seven seals and the gods from heaven and Anunnaki and Nibiru. They all have different names, various names, and their stories are colloquial to their time, but they all carry the same message.
What's that message?
The message is that there is an ultimate being, that there is a God, if you will.
Most all religions talk about, all the Middle Eastern religions, Judaism, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, are theistic or talk about God. Hindus also, indigenous traditions. So I think the thing is that people for all times on Earth have thought or recognized that the order of nature and heaven and even human life seems to be by design. Therefore, you know, there's a sense of a creator, not just by the Anunnaki. But, you know, the creator is a different principle than ET contact or ET groups coming and
going.
It's a different
idea. Exactly. You could have a universe of different species, and they still would be all governed by the creator. There's a hierarchy, I think, in the universe that we just haven't quite understood yet, because we haven't been in direct contact that we can remember of a superior being. And I think that will come. I think UFOs are becoming so prevalent now that it's only a matter of time before one decides to make first contact, if they haven't already done so.
You mean ET groups making first contact?
Yeah. ET groups or species from an outer region, definitely.
Actually, they've been in contact for a very long time. I mean, they're fully in contact and have been since the beginning, or actually before the beginning of humanity on Earth, they've been here. You know, that's an idea of faith for some people, but there are records, you know, like the Anunnaki, of human groups around the world claiming to have had contact directly, you know, Machu Picchu or the Dogon of Africa, Mali, Africa. And so lots of groups have said, sure, they're here, they've been here, there are star nations, star families. I think in the next few years we may find more public contact, although that's a complicated issue too.
Yeah, I can imagine that it would be a difficult time to accept something that has always been present, and we just haven't recognized it or understood it. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, Scott, I'd like to talk a little bit about your book, Being E.T. in America.
Okay.
So we'll do that when we come right back.
Seen UFO? Had any lost time or abduction experiences? Looking for others like you?
FTTOUFO.
Finding the truth on UFOs. Type FTTOUFO on any search engine to view the FTTOUFO site, or www.fttoufo.com. Join Ed Fleming and his team in the forums and chat areas. Report your sightings via the internet. File sighting reports. View great articles on alien abductions and the world of UFOs. If you have witnessed UFO activity or had lost time incidents or maybe an abduction experience, share your stories with others like you. Visit FTTOUFO through any search engine or www.fttoufo.com.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Oh, I just love that old horn music, I gotta tell you. Gets me every time. Matrix Radio out of our virtual studio, Scott. He typed in just as we were going to the break that he believes that love is the universal key. Now, that's an awful nice thing to be able to believe. Love is the universal key. What do you think of that statement?
You said universal G or T?
Universal key. Sorry.
Oh, key. Yes, of course. Key. Yeah, I mean, the question is, what does that mean, actually? What is universal key mean? I guess that the statement means the substance or the driving principle of the universe is love. And in some channeling that I've worked from called the Ra material, we talked about it on the pre-interview show. They say the moment contains love as a statement that love is always available for our receiving and sharing moment by moment. And, you know, I do believe that this universe was created by the principle of abundance in giving souls and entities the chance for experience by choice, for the greater glory of the universe itself, you know, the Creator, so that all life can know itself better.
I can see that. In your book, Being ET in America, released 95, I believe it was, you wrote, there's been a tremendous influx of extraterrestrials, extraterrestrial souls incarnating on Earth in the last 50 years.
Right.
What do you mean by that exactly, Scott, for our listeners?
Well, this is the concept of wanderers, star people, star children, indigo children, walk-ins. It's the notion that there are older civilizations in the universe. They're very much aware of what's happening on Earth. The vast majority, in fact 90%, are loving, benevolent, and they wish to come, they are here on Earth now in human body and have very ordinary human conditions of body-mind. But spiritually, or at the higher portion of what they are or who we are, they can offer a kind of love light, a kind of spiritual radiance that helps the Earth itself, and then they have the opportunity to do service here and help people. So the wanderer is basically an old soul, nothing more than that, a soul who's had more incarnation or reincarnation in the universe throughout time, more than the majority of ordinary people here. And not better, actually, just older. You can ask more specific questions if you like.
No, I get the wanderer and the old soul.
Yes.
That I have believed in many, in the reincarnation. I believe that man, or the soul of man, comes around many times to learn whatever the rules are that we need to learn so we may move forward. So some people are here just two or three times. Some people are here 30, 40, 50 times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the question would be, what's the purpose of this level of existence? This level of existence would be considered related to self-consciousness, and the purpose would be choice, as I see it, and also standard metaphysical understanding or from a few different sources, choice of path, of spiritual path, really meaning love or no love, or service to all, or selfish service to self only. And meaning the test of the moment is, what's the more loving choice, to do this or to do that? What benefits all more greatly, doing this or doing that? And the wanderers are those who've made the choice for love already. And this would represent, you know, again, I'm drawing from the raw material and some other channeled sources and some personal experience. Wanderers would be 98% of the population, 2% of the population, while 98% are people who are basically not yet sure about choice, or haven't made a firm decision. My life is about service to all, or my life is about selfish ambition. Most people are sort of in the middle. You know, sometimes they're good and sometimes they're selfish. And, you know, wanderers can be selfish too, and we're not perfect either. But I had some out-of-body experiences myself, and that's how I came to this understanding. That's why I wrote about it. And then I've met many people around the world, Japan, Mexico, Canada, of course, Israel, Europe, even Africa, meaning people who have different religions, different perspectives on life, but they also feel that they're from elsewhere or that they're visitors to the world.
Right.
Of course, you know, all the traditions of shamanism are also quite cosmic.
Well, I think there has to be a cosmic link, or there has to be a link outside of our earthly identity. Just man is destined to be much more than we are currently, and yet we are just so little in the grand scheme of things. I think possibly because now we are reaching out past Earth into the universe that we have caught somebody's attention.
Well, I think that actually we've had the attention of extraterrestrial groups for a very long time. In fact, before humanity was here, the idea is that extraterrestrial groups or older civilizations in the galaxy, especially nearby this solar system, they were tending to the development of the planet. While there were animals and trees only, while humans were not yet even begun, had not even begun civilization here. Now, though, we're at a special time in the planetary development, and that's the main reason for the increased UFO sightings and contacts, especially after or during World War II with development of atomic power, you know, the power to blow up the whole world. That, you know, signals the advance of humanity into a position of responsibility and needing greater supervision, actually, because blowing up a planet affects not only the planet, but life around the solar system.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Changes the delicate balance, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the notion is that, you know, the planet is at the cusp of a major change of energy, as we see changes in consciousness around us, too. And that, too, brings in additional cosmic helpers. And wanderers are part of that phenomenon. We're sort of like little crystals implanted in bodies, you know, like little lights that are living in human bodies that get, you know, can get quite confused and upset living here, and yet have some deep knowing of the glory of creation and the importance of love in the moment and the goal of an enlightened human population, you know, where people are all taking care of each other, basically. Nothing more than that.
So in other words, when we've learned not to beat each other about the head and shoulders with sticks, then we may be able to get on with society.
Well, the problem, like I said before, is that you have different groups, different consciousness groups on the planet. I mean, I don't think you beat anybody around the head or shoulders,
no.
And I try not to, but there are some people who desire to do that, and then there are others, many others, who don't. This planet is given to souls for free will, you know, for their free will choosing for experience, and some of that experience is chosen against love or against kindness. And the result of that is deception and warfare and suffering.
And the interesting conundrum to that is that you could weave that back into the Christian philosophy, or most philosophies around the world, into their wordplay, as I call it, to explain their beliefs. You could weave that quite easily into a Christian Jesus Christ providing love and, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 and on and on. You could seriously weave that into that enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you mean, but
even though, as we talk about a new world that is based on love and that we respect all kind and all foes, you could weave that into the Christian philosophy or the Buddha philosophy quite easily as being the true word. My point being is that there is definitely some merit to what the preachers are trying to tell us in whatever form it comes out as.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, they're really, if you talk about ethical philosophy or preaching, the basis is love and kindness and compassion, right? So the Dalai Lama says, "Kindness is my religion." The idea is that all religions, all philosophies realize that The bottom line, if we want to make a good world or we want deep self-development, is love. So, yeah, all of them are saying the same thing in a way.
And I just find it interesting that that is the common thread. As I was speaking to you off air, I find the common thread in most things regarding Christianity and regarding ET and regarding Planet X and the forecasts and 2012 and on and on. I see the common threads that there is a change coming, and it is coming down that track. We just don't know what it is or when it's coming.
Well, you know, the big question among people who expect dimensional shift or, you know, the end of the world is gradual or sudden. And I think it'll be gradual until it's sudden. You know, like the Mayan calendar ending December 21, 2012, there was a crop circle that appeared in England last year that seems to show the position of all the planets in the solar system on the date December 21 or 22, 2012. A few days later, another circle was created, the same area, same circumference or the same basic size of the circle. Within that circle, nothing, empty. Almost like after that first date, you know, end of December 2012, with all the planets at their particular positions around the sun, the next moment or the next appearance is emptiness. And I think that that sort of suggests a rapid or instantaneous change. The idea is the planet and the solar system has a relation to the sun and to the center of the galaxy, based on the fact that the solar system, you know, orbits or revolves around the center, galactic center. The Mayans basically, you know, talked about that. And when the solar system encounters particular energies in a relation to galactic center, that stimulates solar system changes. And there's very hard science showing that not only Earth, but other planets of the solar system, including the Sun, have undergone some interesting changes in the last 50 years. Brightness, density, atmospheric conditions, electromagnetic or pole conditions, pole, you know, north-south pole conditions. The idea is when that reaches a certain maximum, then the planet Earth would shift into a different energy condition in which, like the quote, that in a twinkling of the eye, a new heaven and a new earth is created or appears here. So in Christian tradition, same as channeling tradition, there's an idea that this time of accelerated change and upheaval will give way to a completely different situation and a new race or a new group of souls and civilization will be born on the planet, and, you know, like the kingdom of heaven on earth said in Christianity. I think that, you know, that kind of idea fits perfectly with channeled sources that themselves, you know, are not Christian in any way. So anyway, it's very interesting.
It is, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's get into something like a little heavy and that I was warned to stay away from, but we're going to go there because I think it's going to be really, really, really interesting. Interdimensional transfers of ET souls.
At the bottom of the hour, it's time to take a quick break. Recharge your glasses or any other libations you may be having tonight. This is the Night Zone, and you are in the house. You have 2 minutes.
2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. With Tim McKay in the Night Zone, watch for the listings.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. You'll be right back right after this.
The phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener for the Night Zone webpage, click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR.
Welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we just can't get to the computer when we want to. Sometimes programs schedule at a time and a place an event when we just can't be there. But never fear, Blog Talk Radio have figured an answer. Yep, you can go to any of your favorite radio shows on blogtalkradio.com and download their archives or their player, and voila, you have access to your favorite shows. It's as easy as that.
You're in the Night Zone. We're calling night.
And you are in the Night Zone, and I have with me tonight Scott Mendelker. And Scott and I have been firing up questions and answers to each other prior to the show because I was so fascinated with Scott's work. Scott, you wrote regarding interdimensional transfer of ET souls. So you are a proponent, or you believe in the possibility of various dimensions, interdimensional shifts?
Yeah, you mean transfer of souls or beings between dimensions?
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. Sure.
Now, given that, why do you think that over the last 50 years or so, as you wrote, why do you think there has been an influx of souls? If they know,
At this point, yeah, I mean, here we're talking about, I was talking about wanderers, and these are higher dimensional old souls who come here to try to help. That's the simple explanation, because now is a special time on planet Earth. It's a time, just like the Mayan calendar points to, in which one world cycle gives way to another one. And that humanity, with its somewhat confused consciousness, where you have positive and negative and people are unclear and lots of confusion, the human population without wanderers or without this positive soul transfer are not able to support the planet's energy shift adequately. The idea is that the planet must change its energy grid or release some kinds of energy or thermal heat actually from the body of the planet, like as in earthquakes. You know, we have disrupted weather around the world, and earthquakes go on and on. Is it normal? I don't know. The idea is that the planet itself is changing, and these positive soul transfers who take human body in the ordinary way and are very ordinary in their mind, too, which means not necessarily any special powers, agree to incarnate and go to the human level, be here, and do their best to stay balanced and shine love and light, meaning be good people, and be helpful to those around them. And that helps humans and people, and it also supports the planet's shift or change to the new condition. That's the short answer.
Now this change or this shift, and I'm in full agreement that something is coming, whether it be a physical, a metaphysical change, or whether it be an energy change, something is coming. There is no doubt about that. I think everything leans in that direction. Will man exist after that change, do you think?
Yes, of course. But humans, after the change, would be in a different body and in a lighter body, similar to what you would consider the ETs or some of them come to us with. Humans will continue, plants, animals, rocks, the Earth itself will continue. But because the energy bodies of the planet have changed, life can exist at a higher level too. like people talk about the astral plane, this kind of dimension where people go at night and dream or study or after death, the planet itself will be shifting into a more spiritualized condition that would support a different kind of consciousness. And that's the new age, actually.
Okay. So taking what you are saying into as tight of a context as I can for a one-hour show, the other dimensions could be, as we know it, as heaven.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven on earth, or the angels coming, you know, the kingdom of heaven on earth is the idea that benevolent heavenly conditions will begin on earth after that change. And that's the Mayans, the Hopi, many different groups talk about it. Many channeling sources talk about that. And it's sort of a paradise on earth, you know? I mean, skeptics will say, oh, well, you know, people have been talking about that for a long, long time. Well, it's true. But maybe they've been talking about it because it's coming.
Yeah.
A long
time in our terms. But as you say, a blink of an eye in the creator's.
Yes, yes. I mean, a human lifespan of 80 years or something is very short in the kind of creational time frame.
Right. Most rocks on the ground are older than we are.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we are very young souls on this planet, and there's no doubt about it. And we know very little about what we're doing. The global warming issue, although I know is a man has made a problem, it is not the reason for where the Earth is going as far as warming up and cooling down. I believe in Mother Earth as a living, breathing entity.
Yes.
And we're just fleas on the hair of a dog, really, when it comes to living on Earth. We're holding on by our chinny-chin-chin and going for the ride.
Well, I don't see that exactly, because you can say that humans are very, very small and unimportant. You can also say that each human being is a microcosm of the infinite creator, or a microcosm of creation. And so in Eastern tradition, like Hinduism or Buddhism, there were people who, you know, seemed to exhibit great, great powers of mind and enormous compassion and were godly. And so that's our potential. And, you know, however much we actualize is our own choice. But I never put down humans in any way to think, you know, we're all bozos on the bus or something like that. I mean, you know, each being is the infinite creator. You and me and everybody listening and everybody not listening and everybody who chooses anything, no matter what it is in essence the same source, the same unified being of creation that we are. And so the human being, what is the human being? Well, it's more than a body and a mind. And I would never put ourselves down in that way, though. It's just how much potential we can manifest. That's the real question.
Well, I did read recently an article regarding collective consciousness.
Right.
That if mankind as a whole could stand in one place at one moment in time and think one word, and the word would be peace, that there would be, without doubt, an unequivocal peace on the planet.
I totally agree. I think that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Now the question is with people being given free will, the chances of getting everybody at the same time to do that is slim to non-existent. I think we'd have more chance winning a lottery ticket.
that's actually why wanderers come here, because of the lack of conscious harmony and unified purpose in humanity. Because people are pulling in many, many different directions, they're not really supporting the planetary change as much as they could be. But, you know, human potential is boundless, and that's important to remember for all of us.
Well, I think if we can dream it, we can be it. I agree with you 100%. And it may sound like I put down the human race, but at times I am not very well impressed with what we do to each other, and how we actually come about problems. It frustrates me sometimes when I see how little we understand of human nature. And until we get rid of that word greed, until that word greed does not exist, I think we have a problem.
Yeah, right. I think Jimi Hendrix or someone said that, you know, when the power of love finally overcomes the love of power, then we'll have peace.
Mm-hmm.
So, the disunity of humanity is really painful. And the negativity and harmfulness that people show to others and themselves is terrible and painful. And that's, again, part of the reason why there are more ET souls coming, and to try to balance that out by coming with a pure intention, you know, the intention of offering help at a difficult time. And times are more difficult now than ever before. And will continue so until the changeover. And in the next few years, I think we can look for increasing social trouble, personal trouble, as well as increased spiritualized consciousness and cooperation or helping among different groups and peoples around the world.
But, and I think that, again, that falls into the Christian philosophy of God coming back to the earth to reclaim his realm. And the fight of Satan or Lucifer, the fallen angel, against the power of God. If you take away the religious trappings, the story, the activity is almost identical.
There are positive and negative forces in the universe and on Earth. There are positive and negative ETs, and they don't really. The positive groups don't fight; they neutralize. And balance, and try to increase positivity. A good person doesn't fight an angry person generally. They might try to rebuff them or keep them away. But, you know, love is true love, pure love, is without anger. And that's, you know, a very high ideal. But it, you know, like in the Christian Bible talking about Satan, this is a time when positive and negative forces are certainly both heavily involved in the planetary condition. And you know that from your show and all the different guests who are talking about different contact experiences. Some are
right.
Angelic and some are quite negative.
Right. The one question that I ask everyone regarding ETs and UFOs is, if they are real, if they do exist, and that isn't a question. I do have my own opinions that they do exist. But if they are real and they do exist, why don't they just put down on the White House lawn?
Because it's an infringement of human free will to be shown cosmic truth that the majority of people actually don't ask for. It would upset many people, and most people are not actively looking for cosmic reality. And like the prime directive in the TV show Star Trek,
right.
At this level of creation, the human level, where choice is the name of the game, to give humans and people as a collective an undoubted, absolutely, you know, cannot be argued against proof of the reality of cosmic life, other dimensions, all that would come from a landing on the White House lawn, to show people that infringes their right to choose without the knowing. And so in this source called the raw material, RA, that's the spelling. And they believe, you know, they say they were in touch with Pharaoh Akhenaten in Egypt, actually. They also, they talk about this as the law of free will. The law of free will is also called the law of confusion because it gives souls the free will to remain in their confusion so that they can get out of it. And so there's a comment saying, were there no potentials for misunderstanding, there would be no potential for understanding. And so being veiled or having this reality hidden is part of the plan too, because it's an infringement to show people something they don't want to see. Certainly that would change their view of reality so drastically that itself interrupts the ordinary process of people choosing what's important for themselves. And so positive ET contact is really normally done on a one-to-one or small group basis.
I can understand that. So nothing being carved in stone, Scott, can the future, do you believe the future of what is about to befall us, do you think the destiny of that future is in our hands, or has it been written?
Both. you know, it's an interesting thing. At our level of consciousness, we perceive choice, and we should be making choices. From a greater level or more expanded perspective of consciousness, there's no time. There's no past, present, future, which is why there are people who can predict near-term futures, or people like Nostradamus or whoever can predict. It's already been finished before a life has been started, and yet our experience is of free will. So they're both true, which is very mystical and hard to understand.
And yeah, difficult to be able to float on the one boat, because I believe in both, and yet it's a difficult balance, isn't it? Now, we're running into, what, about 8 minutes left of the show, so let's get something out of the way here. You have a couple of books, The Universal Vision,
right?
Soul Evolution and the Cosmic Plan.
Right.
Now, both of those books are available at your website, right, Scott?
The first book, From Elsewhere, is out of print. So Universal Vision is the only one available. That's at Amazon and New Leaf and at my site. And my site is www.scottmandelker.com, scottmandelker.com. So, yeah, and I also do personal sessions. And sometimes people wonder if they are wanderers or they've had contact, or they're just wondering about life purpose or relationships or their own process. So I do work with individuals, people on the phone also.
Okay, so they can contact you through your website and make arrangements if that's what they wanted to do?
Yes, of course.
Excellent. So that's www.scottmandelker, that's MANDELKER.com.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got that out of the way. Scott, looking into how you write and where you come from, you use quite a lot of karmic law and universal energy guidance from what I can tell. Does this help you in your sessions?
I'm not a psychic or anything, but I try to listen to guidance and... my background is also in psychology, and so I'm familiar with emotional psychological process. So, right. But yes, I listen to guidance, and talking about karma, of course, is really, really interesting and difficult, but really interesting. The idea that everything we experience is the result of past choices and causes, positive or negative, and that's a guide to understanding why we have certain experience on Earth and what our particular learning or challenge may be in the moment, which could be big or small.
Yeah, I, as I mentioned to you on the pre-call, I'm a firm believer in reciprocity. What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
And do unto others as they would have done unto you. It just goes without saying. And that is the humane and dare I say the Christian way, I think, to live a person's life.
Yes, I think so. I totally.
I think the difficulty, Scott, is for the devout religious to accept another facet of their teachings, and I think it's also in reverse. Those people that absolutely deny religion, I think, would have a difficult time seeing the correlation. But how do you manage to balance that in your life and in your world with all of the hectic goings-on of San Francisco?
Balance what? That some people are not interested in this?
Well, just yourself, your own inner being. How do you maintain a balance?
Well, you got to do meditation, and you got to take time for rest and study and sharing with good people and honesty and trying to find what's really true and important each moment and what's the best way to go forward. And, you know, the same as from a non-spiritual perspective, how to stay balanced, right? It's self-love, self-forgiveness, self-understanding, knowing yourself, being honest, moving towards kindness as much as possible, recognizing the need for balance, and like that, I would say.
Well, I must say that your academic approach and your spiritual teaching, from what I can get from your website, Scott, is absolutely stellar. I have truly enjoyed rooting around on your website, sir. And as we head towards the end of the show, Scott, I'd like to have you back in a couple of months if
sure.
we can arrange it. And we'll update as to what's happening around the world at that time.
Yes, I'd be happy to. And
wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight, Colin. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely my pleasure, Scott. You take care. Blessings on your household, sir.
Thank you. Blessings on you.
And ladies and gentlemen, Scott Mendelker, and you can go to his website and have a look at all of the information that he provides. Scott, of course, has a BA in Buddhist studies. He's a PhD in East-West psychology. He's lectured widely on metaphysics and personal growth and spiritual of the UFO and ET contacts. It's definitely a website worth seeing. So we hope you head up there. That's www.scottmandelker.com. And have a look around there and check out some of the stuff that he's offering and some of the stuff that he has there to help you in your future endeavors. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute blast. This is another edition of the Night Zone, minus 34 degrees Celsius currently in Calgary with wind chill. It's going to be a cold one out there. You all take care of yourselves. And remember, I was nowhere near Chicago when it happened. Hey, guys. Got a minute? I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. But for the grace of God, go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show it. God bless you all. Good night.